Well, a lot of people want to know what happened to freedom, of course, myself included, and specifically what happened to the Freedom Trucker convoy movement here in the United States or in Canada. Like, were they just completely crushed? I mean, it's been 2 months now since Justin Trudeau went full Castro and cracked down on all dissidents against COVID-19, unnecessary communist overreaching lockdowns and mandates. Chris Skye is one of the dissidents in Canada. He's been repeatedly arrested for campaigning against vaccine and mask mandates. Well, police arrested him again in Calgary on March 26th, but now they're using another weapon to take him out. Chris says that he's had his bank accounts frozen. RBC Bank in Canada claims that they can't verify his identity, even though, by the way, he's given them his passport, his health card, his debit card, even his marriage license. Doesn't matter. As far as RBC is concerned, Christopher Skye basically doesn't exist. But that's the plan that they have for all of us. Eventually, of course. They want to make the ability to have a bank account or open a credit card or stay in a hotel room or eat in a restaurant or even open your refrigerator, all of that, they want to make conditional on submitting to mandates and being an obedient slave of the government. We couldn't wait to talk to Christopher Skye about it. And the first day back from vacation, here he is. Chris, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was on tour for the last 2 weeks in BC. The tour ended up in Calgary. That was our last stop. Obviously, that's Alberta, not BC. But we went to Calgary because a few weeks before I went there, and first of all, everybody keeps asking me, why are we still fighting for freedom? We all got our freedoms back. Really? If you look in Canada, Justin Trudeau has every federal mandate still in place. You cannot leave the country if you're not vaccinated. You cannot even leave your province if you're not vaccinated unless you drive yourself. And then we have every federal agency, as well as corporations that have ties to the federal government, like banks, insurance companies, airlines, etc., all mandating the jab for their employees. So we still have every Canadian a prisoner in their home country, still have millions of Canadians out of work because of these mandates. But because the federal government allowed people to take their masks off and are allowing people to go to a gym or a restaurant without a vaccine passport, people think this is over. Meanwhile, in the city of Calgary, before I got charged for hosting not even hosting, but speaking at a protest outside, and they said I breached the 6 foot distance rule outside. They literally showed me pictures of me hugging people and shaking hands with people and used that as an excuse to arrest me. That actually went to court on March 25th of this year, and it got thrown right out of court. So I was back in Calgary the very next day after that, after I got off the charges from last year, and I found that they had a court injunction in place. So now they tried to criminalize protesting, not based on the fact that it's too unsafe to gather because of COVID. Now they basically just said, well, you guys are pissing off the government. We don't like that you're protesting every Saturday. So we're going to pretend like you guys are causing problems like they did in Ottawa. So they filed a court injunction that made virtually all types of protesting illegal in the city of Calgary for every man, woman, and child. You can now get arrested in Calgary if you're marching, if you honk a horn, or if you use an amplified speaking device, including a handheld megaphone. In fact, I did a speech in a park, and I wasn't even using the megaphone. I was just holding it as a prop, like a loaded weapon, because that's what they made it seem like it was. And then when I tried to unite the two protest groups we had in Calgary, as we were walking from group A to group B, we got swarmed by the police. They arrested me. They said that I violated the injunction by allegedly speaking a few words through the megaphone. When I actually got arrested and brought in the police car, I actually read their screen to see what was really going on. And I always do that to see what the real motive is. And in big, bold letters, they wrote, prevent group A from meeting up with group B. That was the whole reason for arresting me. They did not want me to unite the protest movement. And once I got arrested, because I'm not jabbed and because I don't take a test, I was let out of my cell a total of maybe 12 minutes over 3 days, while the rest of the inmates are getting about 2.5 hours of exercise a day. And if that wasn't bad enough, as soon as I got out of prison, and I wasn't in jail, by the way, I was in prison because I violated a supposed court injunction, you actually go to jail, and then you don't get bail, you go to remand, where they strip search you, make you bend over, then give you a nice orange jumpsuit so you look like Hannibal Lecter. Actually, mine was blue this time. And then they put you in a jail cell virtually for 24 hours a day because you won't take a COVID test. And as soon as I got out, I was in Calgary, and I needed to do some banking. So I went to Royal Bank, which is one of my banks, not knowing that Royal Bank of Canada is also a World Economic Forum partner. So I walked in the bank and they told me they couldn't verify my identity in Calgary. I didn't make a big deal because I only had my health card on me. It wasn't my home branch or any of that. So they told me just come back with my passport because that was the ID I used to open the bank account. Made sense. So I did that. And when I came there with the passport, they clearly knew who I was. They knew exactly who I was. They even Googled me and saw all the different images of me. But they still said they couldn't verify my identity. And this time they actually called the RCMP on me. So I left, went home, called RBC, made all these complaints, talked to a supervisor. They told me to go to a special branch in Edmonton, talk to the manager, everything would be okay. So I went there. I brought my wife with me because by their own rules, you only need one government-issued photo ID, but you can also bring somebody else who can verify your ID. So I brought my wife. I gave them my passport that I used to open the account. I gave them my Ontario health card. I gave them two other forms of supplemental identification. I gave them my marriage license, not even a copy, the real one. I showed them my wife's U.S. passport because she's a U.S. citizen. I showed them my wife's Canadian driver's license, which we all have the same name on. I had my lawyer on the phone ready to verify. I had the number on file, which was my cell phone, which I told them to call. I even accessed the email they had on file, accessed my e-statements from the email, showed them all of this. And they looked at me and said, you know, I'm really sorry, but we still just can't verify your identity. So my account wasn't frozen. They can still use my money. They can still access my money. I just can't access my money. I can't even close my account because they won't verify my ID.
What's the big picture? What is the big picture here?
The big picture is social credit score. This is what they want. They want to be able to deny you access to your money, deny you access to work, deny you access to travel, deny you access to virtually every service based on your political views or based on your outlook. Because I don't even have political views. My outlook is just I'm against the mandates. That's not political. So based on disagreeing with the government wants to be able to allow corporations to deny you services based on your beliefs. And that's exactly what was going on here. In fact, she told me she was going to help me by calling the fraud department. This was the manager. And I have all this on video, by the way. And so she asked us to wait there because she said, this is actually kind of ridiculous that you have all this ID and they're telling me they can't verify you.
Right.
So I thought she was on our side. So I stopped recording and I waited with my wife. 15, 20 minutes later, three police cars showed up. And she comes out of the office and tries to tell them I was causing a disturbance and tried to have me arrested. And I told them, I have the whole thing on video, officers, if you want to see. The only reason I'm here is because she asked us to stay here because she said she was going to help us. And when they found out that I had videotape, RBC got really upset and told me they wanted me to leave right away. I even talked to my home branch after that on the phone, and they still told me they couldn't verify my ID or find a bank in Alberta that would allow me to come in because they were mad that I videotaped.
Well, it's obvious that they started with you because they know that you're vocal and that they know that you're going to come on programs like this one and use your own platform to tell this story. And this is going to be used as an intimidation tactic to scare other people out of rising up or speaking out or grabbing a loaded weapon, a bullhorn, and standing out there and telling the truth.
Exactly. And another thing is I just did launch my own social media platform. So I believe this attack is part of that. They already tried to silence me on Instagram, Twitter, Telegram even. All these places are trying to censor me. So I partnered up with somebody and we created our own social media platform. It's called Friend of Voo. And it's available on my website, realchrissky.com. It's exactly like a Facebook-style interface, except there's no fact-checking, no censorship. You can't get banned. So when you get thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, you don't have to worry about losing it overnight. You don't have to worry about trying to log in and them saying that you got banned for violating their terms of service. You don't have to worry about posting a video and it getting taken down. So that's starting to take off. So all the things that I'm doing, all the actions I'm taking are trying to make a difference, and they know this. I just got back from Vancouver, and now we have to go back there on April 10th. Why? I targeted BC because, to me, it's the weakest part of Canada. It has the worst restrictions because it has the most compliance. Well, guess what? The elite feel the exact same way because they're doing the first TED Talk since the start of this pandemic, and they're doing it right in Vancouver, right at the same location where I had my last event, and the headliner is Bill Gates and Al Gore, and I want everybody to be very aware. They're going there for one reason. Bill Gates is going there to sell you on the fact that the pandemic is not over, that we need to cede more of our authority to global bodies. In fact, the WHO has already drafted what they're citing as a world pandemic constitution. And once a country signs on to this treaty, which 100 already have, including mine and I believe yours, that WHO document takes precedent over the governing document of your home country. So the Constitution in the United States becomes null and void. The Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada becomes null and void. And if you thought we had no accountability and transparency now with our public health officials, they will simply cite that they're following the orders of unelected officials from the WHO in another country, and we will not be able to say anything about it.
I've told my audience for so long that this is not done. This family understands this is not done. But so many people just feel like
it's just getting started.
I've got about a minute left here, and I want you to tell people, like, what's the solution? What do you want people to do right now? You've been a tremendous leader. So how do you want to lead in Canada now?
We're getting everybody to go to Vancouver for that TED Talk, and even the bikers are coming. And after we go to Vancouver and we show everybody that Al Gore, their agenda, are not welcome, they're also going to be talking about a new vaccine. I got to get that out there. They're going to tell you that there's a new vaccine. It's better than all the rest. It doesn't matter which ones you've already taken. And they're going to tell you only need to take it once a year. And that's going to be their new way to try to get the mandates in place perpetually. The other thing we're doing is we're heading back to Ottawa. On April 29th and 30th, there is a huge, massive convoy of trucks, loggers, tradesmen, and most importantly, bikers, all heading to Ottawa. We have the most form of united non-compliance that we've ever had in Canada to come up against these mandates. Because Trudeau's election promises, if you go to the Liberal website right now, his election platform is to keep every federal mandate in place. That is what he's running on. He wants to make it so you are a prisoner in Canada indefinitely unless you take this vaccine. And that's what we're telling people. You got to get out. You got to make people aware that that's exactly what they're trying to do. And ultimately, you've got to get people to just say no. If you refuse to put the mask back on, if you refuse to take the next vaccine, if you refuse to close your business, if you refuse to impose a vaccine passport on your patrons, all of this will fail with flying colors. They cannot get this to go unless you comply. So ladies and gentlemen, do what I've been doing for the last 2 years. Just say no.
Go to realchrissky.com for more of that information. Hey, the producers are in my ear. They want to hang out with you for a second and ask you for some information specifically that we can put out for everybody else to be here. Chris Sky, thank you so much for being here. Coming up on the Stu Peters Show. Listen, you have to grab the bullhorn. That's what we have been here for the longest time. The proverbial bullhorn that you grab, the loaded weapon, and it's been proven time and time again that they deem these bullhorns, like Chris Sky's platform and like this one, to be incredibly dangerous to their demonic agenda. They nuked an entire 24-hour radio station to silence a one-hour show, this one, over at iHeartRadio. It's absolutely disgusting. And these oligarchs, these disgusting, overreaching, overbearing, tyrannical communists know that we're coming for them. More of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them. Individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Kotchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.